This program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the values of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the plan today. The Sheikh Yusuf Akhis. Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Wassalatu Wassalamu Ala Rasulullah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. In Birmingham, Alabama, you're listening to Islam Today, and we're broadcasting to you almost live. Inshallah, we'll be dealing with how close we seem. It's sad, you know, when we non-Muslims can understand our situation better than we can. And I'm referring to a man by the name of Lyndon LaRouche, Jr., who happens to live in my city, Boston, Virginia. And at least I guess that's where the office is. And he says in this article that he's writing here about something called the Renaissance. And he's talking about what happened in Spain, what we call Muslim Spain. Well, I have thought about this many times, and I thought it might be a good idea for us as Muslims to declare what's going on. At least there would be the Muslim side of history as well. And by the way, he did a very nice job. I'm giving him great credit and also for his ability to look at the truth, even in the situation of what's happening today in light of so-called terrorism. And he actually is saying, according to his article, that this 9-1-1 business in September was actually an attempt of a from within our own country. The interesting concept that we have, telling us that the people who live in this country and operate within the structure of the government are themselves responsible. Very interesting to be with anybody. And to proceed, the thing I'd like to mention that we're going to be talking about today is how close we came. You know, it is sad when you realize that you could be so successful if you just made a little bit of effort in a certain way. Of course, immediately I'm going to have those who are going to tell me, well, everything's from Allah. And that's true. You know, I already read everything. And that's true. Exactly, I understand that. I have no doubt on this subject. At the same time, to look back and see and think about how close we came, at least we could say in the future, maybe we can do better. Maybe in the future, next time we won't be staying close. Maybe we'll have the golden ring. Let's look at a couple of incidences throughout history and see what happened and come up Muslim history and see what's happened since the last 1400 years. I don't want you to detail all of the incidences, but just to hit a few. And I usually begin by asking the question and have a couple of young, fine looking gentlemen sitting here with me today. Well, I'm going to ask the question to all of us. But see, they attend public school. And they think you think they were old enough to go to school. So I'm going to ask them the question to all of us. According to what they teach in the public school, who discovered America? That's his name. Yeah. Christopher Columbus. Isn't that right? Christopher. Isn't that what they teach? Yeah, that's what they teach. Christopher Columbus discovered America. What year? 1492. Look at this. 1492. I'm going to tie this into a piece of history that Muslims don't even know. I knew that in 1492, in the Russian China War, the Christopher Columbus did something. What moment? You only have to know that. Because you get the day off from school for that. October. They get the day off from October for the Columbus Day. Is that right? And if you talk to someone who just recently studied this in his 3-day class, they will tell you that actually he arrived in October, but he left in July. And that's also historically correct. He did leave there in July. Some of the points that they don't know, when they say that he discovered the earth was round, and he discovered America, the amazing thing is, when you start to hear the truth, is how close we came. In fact, let's start at the very beginning. His name wasn't Christopher. Christopher is a Christian name, and he was a Jew. But by changing his name, then when he goes to discover whatever he's going to discover, it can be in the name of Spain. Because actually he applied in other countries first to get support for what he wanted to do. But then he goes to Spain, and when he gets to Spain, he gets support that he needs to change his name. So that's a Christian name, because that's why the name Christopher. The perfect name for a Christian, the way they want to talk to Christianity at that time. Let's go back to North and Spain and look how close they came. Because at that heyday, in a time when the Muslims should have been the most thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the Muslims had so much, they had so much in resources, and in knowledge, and in money, gold, and silver treasures, clothes, the kings, and I say kings because they started to divide up into groups. The kings measured their position by the size of their turbans and the gold and jewelry and things that they owned them. They began to divide up more and more, though, and then they began to fight with each other. Each kingdom fighting the other kingdom. Muslims killing Muslims. And sometimes a weaker kingdom would then use their gold and the resources that Allah gave them to impair the services of non-Muslims to fight and kill. They began to give more and more to the Christians to help them kill Muslims in all of the kingdoms. So that could dominate. At a time when they had the highest in education and the highest in so-called civilization. The time when it was so popular to send your children and your relatives to get this higher learning, because nowhere did they have it. At that time, it was called the Dark Ages. They had the Great Plague, and people couldn't figure out why they were dying. And they really were pressured when they sent their children and their relatives, and when they went into Spain, and they found that the Black Plague didn't spread. It didn't spread. There's a reason for that. The Black Plague was a big mystery to people, and you watch that relatives dying in the streets and they killed that they used carts to destroy the bodies on them. There was nobody to bury them because they were all dying. They called it Black Death. Sometimes it was spread on a ship of sea, and everybody in the ship would die, and then you would find these floating ships just floating in the sea, everybody dead. And nobody would want it to come into port. Because they knew if they did that Black Death would spread off the ship. They didn't know how. They thought it was some kind of magic. They used to burn the ships, but they found it did people on the left side. One of the things was that when those ships did go to port, and these people had these diseases on there, so they would run down the ropes, and they might just have spread the disease. But people didn't know that. But Muslims, on the other hand, were doing something that the Europeans weren't doing, something that doctors do before they operate on them. We watch some of the educational channels that will tell you how important it is for people that work in surgery, for people who work even in fast food service, restaurants, so on, to wash, wash, wash. They said that not much time it takes to recite the ABCs. I want you to put your hands together right now and start to act like you're watching me. Well, I said, hey, you can get up there to start now. Stop how many times you work with your hands. Clearly going through between your fingers. Are you ready? A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, E, W, X, Y, Z. How many times? Three. Scientifically, it comes out to about three times. But they don't want to say that, so they'll tell you use the ABC. Because Muslims have been washing their hands three times like that ever since 1400 years before we pray. In fact, five times, seven times, 10 times a day, Muslims are washing their hands three times. Then, though, we add washing our mouth and our nose three times. Then our face three times. Then our arms back to our hands three times. We've washed our hands more than just three times by now, haven't we? Then we even do the hair and the ears and the feet. The surgeon doesn't have to do all of that, because it just puts a little cast iron and glue to come in there and set you up. But even the surgery itself can be traced back to oral and alienness. One of the tools, the scalpels, and the secrets are things that you see drawn for the first time in 1,000 years ago from this system. Great technology. Many of the things that we know today, the method of recording history, even the ship's log used by Christopher Columbus was based on what we call the wire. Tracing back to see what happened. Recording things so that in the future people can benefit from what we wrote down. We continue to fight each other until one time some of those that they were giving money to decided to try to take them over themselves, and they unified themselves, they united the non-Muslims to fight against the Muslims, and the Muslims were too weak to put them in. So they went across to Gibraltar into Morocco to the leader, the emir of Muslims, and they said, it's Muslim, and it's still called that today. And they begged, come and help us. So the emir of Morocco sent all the troops, the Muslim troops, that he could command, and sent them in there to help. And they went in, and they put down the interaction. They put down those who were trying to overthrow all the Muslim kingdoms. But the emir told them one thing. He said, you've got to stop fighting each other. You have got to stop this idea of a kingdom that doesn't exist in Islam. This is Al-Qadiyya. And he commanded them that. He told them that. You've got to stop it. Within just a short time, the Muslims began again fighting each other. And then it wasn't long before they began again paying the non-Muslims to help them kill each other. And then the non-Muslims joined their forces together, and this time they reinforced Arab, what we call Italy today, or Rome at that time, the Roman Church behind that movement, and they came in, and this time they were killing big time and wiping out Muslims wholesale. Again, the Muslims came into Morocco, and again they begged for help from the mirror, only this time he said, I don't want to solve your own problems. I'm not shedding the blood of the Muslims of my kingdom, my careful, I'm not going to send you over there to help you because look what you've done to us. All your own problems. How close did we come? The Muslims were beaten everywhere. Because of one large group working against a small group, it's pretty easy to figure out the numbers, and especially when you don't have the support of Allah. Until there's only one place left. One place that they had a leader. And then in January, mid-June of the year 1492, the last Muslim emir had the truth. And the priest given the authority over to King Ferdinand. What year? 1492. What month? And in July, there's already somebody leaving out of the same port. In July, leading out, taking off the three ships. They were already old. So old one was already sinking. They had to bail water out of it. Where did the nation get old ships from the country that they took over? Muslim ships. The new kingdom that replaced the Muslim Spain ordered that the prisoners be sent out on these ships to go, because they didn't want to risk sending the precious folks that they had there to fall off the edge of the earth, because they still believe the earth works flat. But all these prisoners were willing to go. They got the ships and took off. All they did were willing to go. They already knew it was round. It's not recording in the history books that you find in the West, but the Muslims had already known not only the earth was round, we all had a globe in our university in Cairo 1,000 years ago. A globe is laying right there with an outline drawn of the so-called New World. A contiguous, continuous line showing the shoreline. It's very poor compared to today, you know, looking from outer space in a satellite. to see how accurate that can be compared to what we have. But at least it showed that there was something there, a line showing where this land was, this continent. I think that Christopher Columbus thought that it was India, and that he was going to open a trade route into India a shorter distance across instead of going around the other way in the world. He understood it, but how? Who told him that? How did he know? He always said these people were Indian when he arrived here, but he thought he was in India. He thought he was in India. But the Muslims knew. And by the way, just for the record, he never ever, in four trips that he made, never ever did he step one foot on American soil. No, he never touched the United States. He did not land in Florida or Georgia or Alabama, Mississippi, Louisiana, Texas, or Mexico. He didn't even make it to Cuba. He won't pick a buck on that. But in October, you won't blame him, because that's a good rate. You get a good rate there with the travel agent. It's really nice in the Bahamas in October. On the serious side, look how close they came. Muslims were in Muslims had built these ships. Muslims had provided the route. In fact, they even provided the law of the known how to keep it from the throne of kept the law. Captain's law. Captain's law, that concept, especially as you like to watch Star Trek, Captain's law, Stardate 9400 and whatever, the idea of keeping a law came from me. From a person in Bukhara, in Tashkent. His name was Imam Bukhara. Did you know that? Comes from the same concept. How close we came. How close we came is because the ships that came over, not only they had belonged to Muslims, they had Muslims in them, using Muslim technology at that time. But because we couldn't get along with each other, this is a great punishment for us. Today, people are still called Omar and Sarah and Aisha and Abdullah in Spain and in Mexico. Go to Monterey, Mexico and pick up the phone book and look. The grandson, the granddaughter of the grandsons and the granddaughters of the Sahaba. As to take the time to the people and look where we are today. But yet when we called them on the phone, we went back. We came to talk to them, asked them about their history. When we called them on the phone, they were excited, really, a lot of them wanted to know. And we called them in Monterey and in Mexico City, and we brought them together and we talked to them. They were excited that somebody cared about their history, cared about their history, and somebody even knew about their grandfather's name, Omar, and Abdullah, and Sarah, and I. Many of them named Hussein. Right. And Ali. Where are they?
But they were Christians.
Good cause. Think about it. We're not immune from that today, are we? Are we immune from this problem today? How close we came.
Just a few months.
But Allah gave the victory to somebody else. La ilaha illallah, this time can be completed. Glory to Allah. He's the only one to worship. And for sure, we did the wrong thing to ourselves. Every time. I only want to mention one other example because in this next one, in the next one I'm going to mention is this one. Let's go to history now, less than 100 years ago, during the time of the last Khalifa. The last Khalifa, according even to non-Muslim doctors, according to non-Muslim doctors, he had a big headache. He was fighting on all sides. He was dealing with Europe and Russia. He was dealing with different ethnicities and tribes, and he was trying his best, we imagine, to hold things together for the Muslims. One of the things that they had worked on and a prize project that he had was to construct the railroad all the way to Istanbul, to Mecca. For a Muslim, immediately, as you say, to Mecca, we know what they're thinking about. Hajj. A great way to open up the door from Istanbul. thing in the north, because that's in Europe. Istanbul and Turkey, that's in Europe. And then crossing over into Asia. And then down and across all the way into Arabia. Now for the non-Muslims, though, they saw a problem with that. Big problem. Not just the fact that many more people might have to become Muslim and go down there because it would be easy to make out. No, that's not what they were thinking at all. They were realizing that just as a train goes one way, it also comes back the other way. When it comes back the other way, it can have people on it as well, who are maybe not necessarily wearing two towels wrapped around them. It could be wearing uniforms. They could be carrying weapons. It could be a way to move a lot of people all at once. See, because remember in those days, there were no airplanes. There were no troop carriers back in those days. The way you moved the troops in those days was whatever, camels, horses, and they weren't worried. Because across the Arabian Desert was always something you couldn't put. Not that far, but they couldn't put themselves that way in the 1940s. They had it. They didn't even see the train. Oh, whoops. Could you bring all these troops up there and bring straight into our front door? That's the problem. But there was a lot going on. That was right after World War I. They didn't call it World War I. They called it the war to end all wars. But there had been no truce, so they didn't call it one. The Europeans were worried, and they knew they couldn't get the support of America and Great Britain again. You know why? Because we lost too many people, and we were all saying, that's the war to end all wars. We're not going to get anything else. Over. And they knew if we get that railroad open, we can have a serious problem. Additionally, by the way, if you don't know this, they already were talking about the oil in Arabia at that time. Oh, yeah. Because in those days, oil didn't have the same meaning as it does to us today, but it was still a commodity, it was still a resource. Because they used it for lighting, they used it for heating, and they did use it for the machinery in those days, but it was comparison to what we call diesel fuel today. Yes. How close we came this time. Because now look what happened. A man, his father was a Jew, and his mother never bothered to get married. Unmarried parent. Yes. Yeah, that's the correct word. That's the correct English word, yes. But the fact is, this man, who had his own agenda, actually gave Buddha from the minbar. He used to teach from the minbar, preach it to them. From the pulpit of Islam to the Muslims in Turkey. His name is Kemal Mustafa Pasha. And he began to influence the youth and tell them that they had something special that their elders didn't have. Until he got the youth convinced that they needed to take over. And it started in the street, and they began fighting the young Turks against the regime or the Khalifa fighting against the town. Yep, Muslims killing Muslims again. They said Turks killing Turks, I'm saying Muslims killing Muslims. And so that they wouldn't feel bad, even if they had to kill their own father, he said, I'm your father. And he called himself in their language the father of the Turks. At the door. Check it out. It's in history books. You feel what happened. Well, at the same time, the British. These were the folks that were, by the way, that's British, huh? They sent a man by the name of T.T. Lawrence into Arabia. He put on their white robe or long dress of the Muslims and put on their scarf over the head of the org, hutra, and the igal, which is the rings that they wrap around. He even carried a sword, and they called him Lawrence. And for his work, by the way, his achievement, when he went back to England, the Queen of England knighted him, T.T. Lawrence, the lady. What did he do? Well, he told the Arabs, you have something, and you know,
anything like it's going to be on this one. You got to buy this and get it. Hey, hello.
What are these people in the street? What are they doing?
What are they doing in the name of God?
The Khalifa of Islam,
the leader of Islam, who was located in Istanbul, who did that right. But he said anywhere there's a Muslim, and he was believing. So the church, obviously, people born in Turkey, and there's a Muslim, were over in Arabia. Some of them he signed today, one of my dear friends, Ahmed of Turkistani. Obviously, he's coming from the same place.
He was one of the directors of the Masjid. They were all Muslims. But he's dividing them up and teaching them the thing that the last time of Allah tried to take them away from. Islam came, he told Spaniards, stop this racism and tribalism. I have to be here. How close we came? How close did we come? When the Muslims began killing the Muslims, when the Arabs began killing the Turks, the Europeans didn't have to worry about the railroad anymore. We blew it up ourselves. Piece by piece, bit by bit, we went down the line, and we Muslims, we Arab Muslims, grew up the railroad ourselves. So in Turkey, you have a fighting in the streets. In Arabia, you have the fighting everywhere in the streets. Muslims killing Muslims. Until Allah lifted all the barakah, all his blessings away, and then what happened? What happened? Lost the Khalifa, number one. That's the worst thing that happened in the history of the planet. We have no leaders to this day. And everybody's out trying on their own, telling us this way, that way, another way. And without a leader, you can't do it. We are a ship without a rudder. We're a ship without a backup. And we can't do anything. Except watch the signs around us. We can watch the wind come up, we can watch the tide change. We can watch the ocean go in and out, but we can't do anything with our big ship because we have no rudder. That's what's happened to us. And this is not from the Kufa. Don't blame the non-Muslims for your condition. This could be true. This could be violating the great principle of Tawhid al-Islam. You don't blame other people for what happened. But one of the types of ships are happy in death. Like a black ant on a black rock on a black night. You can't see it, and this is one of the things when you begin to blame others, and when you begin to say that if we had just done this, then that wouldn't have happened. If we would have done so and so, this wouldn't have happened. Not only did you begin to blame Allah, where we're sitting today is a part of the coming of Allah. But it's good for us to go back and look and see how close we came. Yes, we lost the faith of again, only this time we lost it for good. Until. When Jesus Christ comes, when Jesus Christ comes back on earth, who knows when that's going to be? But up to this point, we've lost our faith. Who knows what's next? We're not trying to make predictions. We're just saying, look at where we are and how close we came. And what's sad, most of the Muslims don't care. But before we lose any more, I think it's good for us to reflect back and see just how close we came. You're listening to Islam Today, broadcasting to you almost live all the way from Birmingham, Alabama. I'm your host, Mr. Festus, reminding you that you can visit us on the internet at the Islam Broadcasting Network, IBN.net. Website's open 24 hours a day. Always that kind of free
talking. وَمَنْ يَرْسُلِ الْجُنُودَ إِلَيْهِمْ فَاغْفِرْ مَغْفِرَةً مِنْهُمْ وَارْحَمْنِي بِإِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ.
Oh, I have indeed attacked my soul excessively. I have nothing to do with you except you. So forgive me a forgiveness from yourself. You have mercy upon me. Truly, you are the most forgiving.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet. This is IBM, the Islamic Media Foundation. by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet. The following show has been pre-recorded, so we will not be taking any calls. Thank you.
Thank you.